think a little bit out of the box, something that might be not obvious, but something that kind of relays the similar sort of message. I think that's going to, you're going to stand out, you know, because a lot of entrepreneurs who are making their own videos are not doing that. And by doing that, you're instantly, you will stand out.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here from superfastbusiness.com. Today I've got another interview. I love to bring these interviews because we get to dig inside the mind of an expert on various topics. Today's topic is really close to my heart. It's something I've been involved with on an almost daily basis for the last couple of years. And I think that it's a huge opportunity for more people to get involved with. And of course, I'm talking about the area of video marketing. And who else could I invite for a show like this than Jules Watkins? How are you, Jules?
Yeah, very good, James. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
Well, it was just a matter of time because I have two of your products that I absolutely adore. And I think I commented somewhere that iPhone Video Hero is one of the few products where I got access to it and watched the entire product in one sitting because it was so engaging and so interesting. And a lot of that comes down to your presentation style and the way that you put the course together. So congratulations on doing such a good job with that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much for that. Well, that's exactly right. I did try and put a lot of myself into it and some of my background, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a sec.
Yeah, well, we're not going to go too far into it, but I would love the short background because I know a lot of people dredge on about it. But just from what I gathered from watching your courses, it seems like you have a really well-credentialed, proper official TV background.
Yeah, that's it. I'll give you, the very short version was I actually started off in photography, then I did a little course in multimedia. I ended up going sort of through the back door, really, into the world of television. It took me a few years to work my way up to becoming a television producer director here in the UK. Did shows like Pimp My Ride for MTV and Biggest Loser. Did some shows for the BBC. So freelancer, producer director. And, you know, that was a fantastic experience, masses of opportunity there. And really, I learned how to deliver content in an engaging, entertaining way. And there's a style of TV called factual entertainment, which is basically TV where you try and entertain people, but there are factual nuggets along the way, so to speak. So, you know, some of the property shows, you know, they're quite entertaining, but they've also got some information in, or like, you know, Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, you may know about that. You know, it's an entertainment reality show, but there are little tidbits about business in there. So I think I've sort of brought that into this world of infopreneurship and tried to sort of teach people, but also make the experience of going through it quite interesting as well.
Yeah, so I would coin a word edutainment for that style of content. And it's certainly been something that I've aimed for. I like to have even shows like this where we're just chatting. I want it to be easy to listen to, but I also want people to learn a lot. And of course, I want action steps, something that people can take away. Because like those TV shows, I imagine a lot of them, maybe the government ones, but the commercial ones, they have to make the entertainment compelling enough that people will stick through the content and hang around for the advertisements in between. And that's part of their revenue model, right?
Exactly right. That's why I find it such a great link into this kind of world of marketing, because it's all about grabbing an audience, you know, right at the top, engaging them, as you said, getting them to the ad breaks, making them want to come back afterwards. And then at the end, there's always a big call to action, you know, coming up next week, or go check our website, or go buy the book of the series, you know. So it's very, very similar in many ways.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those things in the podcasting. We talk about previous episodes, so we backseed the episodes that we've already done. We preempt episodes that are coming down the line. We have lots of engagement things where we kind of like a callback radio show, we say, listen, could you leave a comment on our speak pipe or on our blog? We read out our comments. So we're always trying to do those things. And the thing that I can relate to very well with your story is that you're like this absolute professional in a serious industry, and you've come to the internet space with that knowledge. And you would have found a lot of cowboys who are just sort of winging it or making it up or theorizing about how to do videos, right?
Yes, I mean, the market's obviously growing and a lot of people have caught hold of video as being a sort of hot property. So there's a real spectrum of people out there. And I do think that different people have got different things to bring to the table, so to speak. But I am shocked sometimes when I hit on some sort of video course and the sales video is so badly shot or underexposed, or, and I just can't believe it. I can't believe the cheek of it, to be honest. There's a whole range of things out there. But I do agree that I think you've got to, you know, choose who you want to be taught by, you know, carefully as well.
Yeah. So I guess I had a similar background in my business background, really helped out with my online business. And a lot of people lacked that knowledge that I was able to accumulate in a senior role as a general manager. And it gives people like you and I an advantage. But then we've set up these courses to help share the knowledge. You've got iPhone Video Hero. I've also taken your ScreenFlow Hero course, which is great because I use ScreenFlow. And with that course, the interesting thing for me is I was aware of most of the things that you talked about in that one. However, I'd been using it every single day for a couple of years by then, and I imagine it would have been so handy for me to have access to that course when I started. And I think you can shortcut that learning curve for people in such a short course too. You really managed to get it so concise.
Well, that directly goes back to TV. In TV, everything's about timing. So if you make a show, you know, it has to fit within a certain time frame. Like Pimp My Ride is a half hour show on MTV. It's actually 24 minutes when you take out the ad breaks. And, you know, within about a 20 second range, you have to get this whole story. If you haven't seen the show, it's about car makeovers. And you have to get the whole story of the owner and the process and the end result all in that time. So every second is critical. And I suppose I've taken that over to my courses. You know, I know that particularly business people in business are really overloaded. They're really busy. And I try and just get to the point quick as I can and make it succinct so that, you know, they'll go through it and think, wow, you know, I sat down there for 3 hours and now I've got this kind of result, you know.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I get a lot of evidence that that is the case. People often comment they love my 3 to 5 minute videos. They're super short, really, in the scheme of things. And I don't think there's much fluff in the video content that I'm producing. And I want to sort of go into the next step, which is how I'm recording those videos. My regular viewers would know that I'm using a mixture of hardware, and a lot of it depends on where I happen to be. I range from everything from just an iPhone when I'm out and about and just an iPhone with one plug-in lav mic, a smart lav, a Rode smart lav actually. The iPad or the iPhone with the smart lav is my usual out and about equipment, and I'm using tilt shift video to get the nice blur effect and to adjust the contrast and saturation. And that is all I'm using for most of my out and about videos. And at home, I'm using a DSLR camera. So I take it out of, you know, go up a notch. And I did that because I figured it's great to have the permanent tripod mount and the boom mic and the proper lighting. And I might as well, if I'm going to be filming at home. It's not like I can skimp on the $1,000 or $2,000 worth of setup. It's the funds were there. So I actually alternate. But the interesting thing to me is my audience seemed to be okay with that. They permit a change in production value when I'm out and about because they're far more engaged in the story. And probably one of the most ghetto videos I made was at the Ferrari Museum in Italy, where my son, who was, I think was probably 9 or 10 at the time, was holding the camera for those shots. But I was still able to stitch together a short story around that trip. And people really liked that.
Yeah, no, I've seen that video. It's excellent. And I think what strikes me about that is the fact that, you know, taking the opportunity to make videos and finding like metaphors in real life that you can actually get a business message out of. So you talk about that experience of doing the test drive and then about the Ferrari brand and the service and whatever you can think of, you can actually sort of combine a business message that you may have, whatever kind of business you're in, to something, some real world experience. And it makes it a lot more visual. You know, that's why, you know, the big challenge with video is making it visual, and particularly with business. Now, that's why when you watch The Apprentice, for example, you know, the way that they produce those tasks they have to do are very visually done. They don't, you know, it's not about, you know, how many shoes can they sell on eBay. It's more like, can you go out and sell? How many hot dogs can you sell in the market, right? You know, they're choosing tasks that are visual, something that people can look at and understand the message. So I think that when you're making your videos, always try and find these metaphors. And you did that really well. And in terms of production values, I think absolutely right. And again, a lot of TV shows are done like that. You'll get the big glossy set pieces. I've done reality shows with five cameras, you know, in a studio type environment, loads of lighting and a big production. And yet the actual footage of the contestants, you know, running around and jumping in taxis and doing all that kind of stuff, that's shot by sometimes, you know, quite junior people with quite small camcorders, getting into the action and being around, you know, the best camera in the world is the one you've got with you. So, you know, if something's happening and you've got your camera, it's far more valuable than, you know, waiting for a crew to turn up, so to speak. So, again, I think that that's absolutely right. And I think people are conditioned to be able to accept these different styles as well.
Right. So there must be some kind of evolution that people go through, because it fascinates me. The biggest question I get asked all the time is equipment. What video are you using? What, you know, then they advance to what lights, what microphone. The next part, I think the least focused on part, is probably far more important, and that's stuff like the story and emotion, and then the really advanced stuff that I'm really experimenting with now is music and B-roll, and I found some fascinating things in my video stats. I'm using the Wistia player, which I absolutely adore, and interestingly, a recent video that I made, which was a video for my live event where I've spliced in rolls of surfing and, of all things, a seagull walking around and going, ah, ah. That part of the video gets replayed more than any other part of the whole video, is this little breakout between phases where there's this seagull walking around squawking and a bit of background music. And these things are really fun to play with, but it seems a lot of people are stuck on the step one, like equipment.
Yes, you're right. There's a huge obsession with, you know, which camera to get, which lens, which microphone, and you can kind of get swamped by that. You're absolutely right. I think you've got to kind of break out of that and just try and, well, I think, you know, watching other people's videos, learning from them, watching TV shows a little bit, I think is incredibly valuable. And definitely, like, using a lot of people were just happy to sit there and talk to the camera, but you know, it's always better to actually show what you're talking about. I mean, it sounds a bit obvious, but if you can try and find other footage to go with what you're talking about, and then, as you said, if you can think a little bit out of the box, something that might be not obvious but something that kind of relays the similar sort of message, I think that's gonna, you're gonna stand out, you know, because a lot of entrepreneurs who are making their own videos are not doing that. And by doing that, you will stand out.
Well, my live event video, my real specific goal and the premise for the event is come and live like I live, like come to the same beach that I live at, enjoy a Sydney summer, surf, meet other people in a great relaxed environment. And I wanted to inject that. So with my other friend who's right into this stuff, Ryan Spanger, he was giving me some tips on the documentary aspects and storytelling aspects. And then I actually went, got some bits and pieces of film from different cameras, like everything from iPhone through to the Canon 60D. And then I had a go at editing it in ScreenFlow. Now, there is also the other option of just paying someone to come and film stuff and to edit it. And I've done that for clients as well. And that is a super awesome idea. It is relatively easy to do. You just pay someone and they do the work and then you get a result, but that's probably the higher end of the market. And I've found for corporates, that's definitely the way to go. The last thing I want to be doing is walking around with an iPhone and sitting here on ScreenFlow for hours. So that's kind of the spectrum that I've worked with, filming and editing my own stuff through to having someone else do it for a fee. And now I've found that middle ground where I generally do the filming, but I just put the raw file into Dropbox, and my assistant has now got the same software. She's got ScreenFlow. I was able to export my templates to her, and she's able to edit it, and she's actually got great value from your course because she's not me, and she shortcut the 2 years of editing by just watching the course, which you kindly organized for us. So There you go. I wonder where most people sit in that spectrum, and I suspect a lot of people are doing everything themselves.
Yes, I think you're right. I think obviously advantages doing it yourself, particularly, you know, filming yourself, you can be very reactive and do it a lot quicker, and you know, you don't have to plan ahead, like, you know, this is going to be my video day. You can kind of react to maybe news that's happening or events that have happened. So I think having those skills of filming is probably very, very valuable. Just on that note you were talking about, one great thing about the iPhone and the fact that it's with you is actually trying to build up this library of footage. So you talked about surfing and seagulls. I think that everybody should be actually capturing their life and just building up a little library of footage, of stock footage, because you never know. Like one day when you come to make this video, you know, your about me video or your sales video, being able to go in and find stuff and obviously keyword it so you can find it later. You know, it could be just shots of your kids or your or behind the scenes, something like that. Just having this archive is very, very useful. But going back to what I was saying, yeah, absolutely. I think filming yourself, very, very useful. But having an outsourcer to actually compile it, do some of the editing, definitely if you've got the budget for that, then I think that's probably the way to go, particularly if you're juggling a lot of other different things in your business.
Yeah, I started with the podcasting and then we moved into the video, so that's sort of been the natural progression. We even offer a service now for other people where they just put their raw stuff in a Dropbox and we do the editing, whether it's the audios or the videos. And I think there's going to be an increased demand for that sort of stuff, but it is kind of difficult to organize on the background. You get all these questions. Where do I hire someone? How do I train them? What equipment will they need? And there are a few obstacles to getting that done. But the most important point, I think, is to be making these videos. Start making them. It's been a tremendous boost for my business to be able to get onto the screen. To be able to publish your own stuff, I think, is so liberating, because it would have cost a fortune to have the equipment that we use now. We take for granted at home. Even what comes standard on an iPhone 5 is probably giving you as good an output as you might have had, you know, just a few years back in a TV studio.
Absolutely. The quality is astonishing. It's definitely high quality. You know, I used to, about, I don't know, 12 years ago, I would be making shows for Sky TV, shooting them myself, and the camera quality would probably be half of the quality that you get on an iPhone. So yeah, the technology has made it easier, and it's so liberating. You know, I find that having worked in TV with lots of people above me, like executive producers and series producers and channel managers, all having their input and helping or interfering with the creative process, the whole thing would, you know, alter by the time it got to the end. And also I've made videos for clients as well, more like business type videos for clients. And normally if you go to a company, you'll get the sales manager involved and they'll have their thoughts about the script, and the vision you had will suddenly become watered down and it'll be a compromise. Whereas I think a lot of business owners don't realize what power they've got not to have all that, you know, but above them, the fact that you can actually make those decisions yourself. Now, what you're going to say, how you're going to film it, what kind of style is it going to be, and publish it all in the same day without too much interference, that is absolutely liberating. That's what really excites me about this whole space.
What are some of the best ways that you've seen people apply your courses?
Well, I'll give you a few examples. One would be a dog trainer that's in my membership site, and she actually got hold of, I think she's using an iPad, so really she didn't have probably a lot of equipment or didn't want to invest a lot up front, but she used an iPad and what's called a swivel. A swivel is a device where you fit in your iPhone and or your iPad, and it basically, wherever you move, it moves. So you mount it in there and you have a sensor that you wear that's got a microphone as well. And as you move around, it follows you. So this was a perfect solution, because if you're walking a dog up and down in a field and you don't have the resources for a camera person, this machine would actually follow you, so you'd always be in shot. That's just one use. Somebody that would just get going with it and get a product out there, because she had the equipment already. You know, the iPhone, the iPad is the sort of camera you already own. So you've suddenly eliminated that upfront cost of several hundred dollars to get a camera, you own that, then you can maybe use a bit of budget for the other bits, microphones, lights. So I just think that inspiring people to do that. Another one would be a horse trainer, more animals. I don't know what it is about animals, but...
So basically any kind of trainer.
Yeah, a horse trainer in somewhere American Midwest, no clue really, but basically they hand the iPhone to their staff. When the horse is, they talk about horse behavior. So when the horse is doing something weird, as they do apparently, hands the iPhone to one of his assistants and says, quick, grab this, and films it just as it's happening. So they can then use that video later to do some training for their products. So many different examples of people just getting started and using the flexibility of being able to shoot whenever they choose.
Even some of the basic tips that, you know, you never think of, but you taught how to hold the phone correctly, which was a fantastic tip. And I use that tip now to swivel and to zoom in and out. I'm not even sure the technical name. Is it panning and stuff? Pan and zoom?
Yes.
And just holding the iPhone in a sturdy way is great. And also I quite often make videos for my team. I'll just turn the video, I'll turn it to self mode and I'll make a little video and then email it to my whole team, like on a Friday, saying, great week, well done, team. You can also send personal Christmas messages to clients. So there's a lot of internal uses you could have, but it just helps you get that video to a good minimum standard of quality.
Absolutely. And I do the same. I tend to make videos for occasions. For example, I had a kind of Christmas party. It was basically a webinar. I felt, you know, a lot of people are sitting at home, don't get invited to a Christmas party if they haven't got any staff. So I had this party, but I made a video invitation for that just to do something a little bit different. So I think making those kind of things are great. And I also spotted some stats where if you use a video in your subject line, then, you know, it can have higher open rates than quite a lot of other subject lines. Obviously, you've got to test that yourself, but I've noticed that myself by just saying my latest video, or you might like this video, or have you seen this video? Things like that just tends to get big open rates. So there's something that does stand out in the inbox as well when you're offering a video, also having a still frame in the embedded that you can click through. So I think people could definitely apply, you know, rather than next time you're maybe doing an email, or, you know, a blast with an email blast, think about, well, could you actually do that as a video?
Well, I never do blasts. That's what's forbidden in our business. You don't want to blast a customer. I found the words, I made you a video, or your video is ready. That sort of stuff's very personalized. I'm certainly sending a lot of thumbnails out in my email broadcast, because probably my general database will get 2 to 3 videos a week, and my community members of Superfast Business and Silver Circle get a personal 10-minute video each week as a group, of course. But it's me just talking to the audience and explaining what the best things that happened that week were. I've found being a heavy use of video, I've built such a strong relationship with my audience.
Absolutely. That's one of the great powers of it. And also, we were talking before we came on that we'd actually never spoken to each other before, but we'd seen each other on video and we'd felt that we sort of had spoken to each other. And you sort of get used to people's voices, you can visualize them. And it's happened to me where I've gone to some meetup here in London, a real world meetup, got out of the house, went to a meetup, and people have said, oh, I think I've seen you. So I've met you before, haven't I? And they feel that connection. They come up to you and want to talk to you. And that's one of the great things about video.
Yeah, it's such a strong thing. And I really did have to look into our Skype chat to see if we'd spoken before. I feel like we've emailed back and forth. I've consumed your courses. You've been watching my videos. So it's funny how we expand our universe by putting ourselves out there. So just a couple more topics, and then I think I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day. I hope it's a beautiful, warm, sunny day there and wherever you are.
You've got to be kidding. This country is sinking in the water. Have you noticed?
No. Oh, no. I'm I went for a surf today. We'll just leave it at that. So let's talk about the different styles that people have with videos. You might have seen that people are using videos in different ways. Let's talk about the different styles that people approach it with, whether they, you know, I would consider myself quite a gentle marketer. I'd rather just talk about things that are happening in a more conversational way, share stories, offer up value, let people know when there's something that they can go and buy. But I wouldn't call it hardcore. You know, I'm not doing these videos without player controls and all of that stuff. But I know a lot of people are. What sort of styles have you seen people use, and what sort of opinions do you have about it?
Well, I think I quite like a bit more pacier style, but you've got to realize that I just can't get this kind of MTV thing out of me and sort of TV thing going on. So I quite like energy in videos. I like music. I like quite fast cuts and transitions. I just sort of take people along quite a quick little ride. That's my own sort of preference. And you do see a lot of people picking up on those sort of influences. But I do appreciate that doesn't suit every audience. I think actually you've got to think about your audience first of all. You know, what would they like to watch? For example, you know, if you've got a slightly older audience, then you've got to approach it in a way that's going to suit them. Not to say you've got an old audience there, James, but
well, I do actually. If you look at the stats, most internet marketers are actually in their 40s and 50s. That it is an older audience, and for that reason, we bumped up the font size on my site. And I was also just thinking that if you do like the fast pace and the music, et cetera, I reckon you start to attract the audience who likes that style. And I've seen people who tested speaking slowly and clearly versus high energy and faster and more intensity, and sales increased with the high intensity one because it moves people, it gets their pulse racing, it gets a sense of urgency. So there must be a lot of science in this, and I'm not the guy to tell you about it, but I do think it's fascinating.
Exactly right. I mean, if you go and I would say, you know, one thing you can do is, what is a popular TV show that your audience is watching, right? Because you've got to realize that there's so much money goes into like research. And when I was doing,
it has to be Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't everyone in our communities talking about Breaking Bad?
Right. Yeah. I would watch that a few times. But, you know, the way TV shows are made is they're tested. You know, when I was making TV shows, basically we would test ideas first of all, then we would do like a rough cut of it and show a test audience and say like, what's working? And someone would say, oh, we don't like the presenter that much. We want less presenter. And you'd think, oh my God, all the money that was paid and they want less presenter. But you would take that on board before it was ever cut and edited and put out there. Because in TV, unlike the internet, you know, you have to get it right first time. Otherwise, the way it works is that TV shows get axed. So a lot of thinking goes behind what's going to work, what kind of face is going to work best, music, style. So I think, really, to shortcut it, just go and find a show that your audience might be watching or liking and just try and borrow ideas. Like, think about what style of music they're using, how fast are the shots, how short are the sound bites. And I think you can learn a lot from that and then apply that to your videos. But you're right, there's a big diverse style. I've seen you're right about documentary. There's a trend for that kind of documentary style. I was watching one the other day, very much a hardcore internet marketing video, but it was all really shot like a reality show with five people on a testing whether they could make some money online. And it was a sort of a before and the after, who are they, getting their story. They were there for a day, and at the end you saw their result. And it was just like you would see like Next Top Model or something like that. So I think, again, that's appealing to a certain audience that have grown up on a diet of those kind of shows. So for them, it's an easy transition to watching a marketing video done in that style. It doesn't jar with them. If they suddenly went into just a bunch of text on the screen for the whole video, it would feel a bit weird. So I think you've really got to play around with different styles and experiment.
Yeah, it would have been interesting on that particular documentary if they'd cut to the hotel scene at 3 a.m. when the staff would have been sending traffic just to get the right amount of sales for the next morning's big reveal.
Oh, you think that the owner of the product sent emails his list?
Oh, dear. Well, you know, if only it was that easy, it'd be wonderful. But then I always wonder, why are they bothering making a big video telling us about this and selling a course instead of just doing that? But that's just me being cynical. Anyway, I think that the documentary style works because it really puts the sales message down a few pegs in it and people's resistance lowers, and it gets you into storytelling. Where I've had the most success with that is with injury lawyers who are you know, typically nicknamed ambulance chasers, and car dealers, who is pretty much one of most least favorite people on the public's list of places to walk into is a car dealership. They reckon that it has the same reaction as going to the dentist. So by using documentaries, we found we've able to give them some humanity and get their story across and their real reasons for being in that business other than just commercial reasons. So, it's been an interesting discussion. I think we should just cover off who is iPhone video hero and ScreenFlow hero designed for? Who's the typical buyer of these products?
Okay, well, I'd say different categories, but people like internet marketers, coaches, business coaches, social media coaches, fitness trainers, anybody really that's trying to leverage video for business. It's not, you know, I made it specifically, it's not for people who want to become Hollywood movie makers and or make arty videos and shoot videos of rippling water, or, you know, things like that.
Or floating plastic bags.
Exactly right. No offense to that, but it's not, you can use those shots later for B-roll, but it's not about arty videos or making, you know, trying to be the next big sort of Tarantino. So it's not for that, but it's definitely, if you want to shoot higher quality video and feel confident about video, if you're making anything for your business funnel, for your blog, or for products, that's who it's for. The same with ScreenFlow Hero, really. Very, very complimentary kind of product. Again, the same kind of people are using it for that.
Yeah, I love both the courses. I'm glad you did them. I got a number of takeaways from both of them. The iPhone one was particularly mind-blowing because, as you said, everyone's already walking around with a content creation device, and just a few little tips help people use it so much better. I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite app or accessory for the iPhone to bring out the best videos?
Wow. I think probably the one that I keep in my pocket most of the time is the Oloclip wide angle lens. It's a clip-on lens for the iPhone. Just gives you a wider field of view. And that's very handy for what we've been talking about, getting these behind the scenes kind of reality style clips. Because the iPhone with the lens, it's fairly narrow in the sense that if you've got a group of people in front of you, you have to step really far back. This gives you a wilder field of view. If you're doing shooting the beautiful beach, if you happen to have a beach next to you, nice wide shots. And also using wides for people is good. Getting into the action, picking up the sound better, getting in close to the action is recommended. So it's I think it's about $50, $60, $70 little lens. Very well worth it. Very small as well for carrying around.
Nice. So that's a hardware item. My favorite hardware item is a SmartLav microphone. Just gets the sound a little closer to the person. Have you got any software or app recommendations?
App recommendations, I suppose. For doing time lapses, you just stick your phone on a little tripod. You could use a GorillaPod or whatever you've got, and you just stick it up there. Could be outside of your building if you've got a business, or could be a landscape. You just stick it there while you're having a chat to somebody, and you'll just get a beautiful time lapse. So you'll get the clouds rushing over or the sun going up and down. Just little touches like that. Having a kind of money shot in your video, something that's just a little bit different, very easy to do. Not a lot of people do it. And just be able to use it as a transition inside your video as a bit of eye candy to make them more exciting.
What a great recommendation. My favorite app is the Tilt Shift video app to get that little blurry background and a bit of on-the-fly editing. So I've got to head off now and go download iTime Lapse. I really appreciate you putting in a little bit of time for our listeners to share the concepts around video and how it could be used and who it's for and what some of the differences out there in the marketplace are with approaches. I think it's been a really interesting conversation, and thanks so much for stopping by, Jules.
Great. No, thanks, James, for inviting me.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.